see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Watchmen for Jesus Bible study for tonight, Friday night on the 14th of February. Oh, yeah, it's Valentine's Day, isn't it? Or something like that. Pagan holiday. I'm sorry. Bust it to you, but it's a pagan holiday. Pagan holiday, family. I don't know what to tell you. Every one of them are. Every one of our holidays are pagan. And I feel like an old grump warning people about it, but what do? You know, just let it go on? I don't know. You got to let people know. I mean, this is serious what we're involved in. And right now, we're on borrowed time. You know, whether it's this generation or next generation, it's hard to tell. You know, the generation that sees the end times really come to fruition. All right, so bear with me here just a second. I got to go offline here for about 10 seconds. Stand by. And I'm back, just like that. Family, the interesting, I picked a choice, a subject tonight. And after I picked it, I started getting emails. It's an amazing thing. I started getting emails. Tonight's subject we're going to talk about is a Nephilim, the giants in the Bible. You say, well, we want to hear Dr. Feelgood message or something like that. Well, family, this is spiritual warfare. We don't know when the rapture is going to be. We don't know when the Nephilim is going to come out. Maybe like during the wrath of God. I don't know. You know, World War III is the second seal. That we know. When is it going to be? Nobody knows when it's going to be. It's when the peace covenant is confirmed between the Antichrist, the real one, and the Israel. And when they confirm that peace covenant, and there's peace and prosperity, it's coming. The real one. Sananda Manuel, Maitreya, Disclosure, Aliens, all that stuff. That's the first seal. There's going to be some fakery before then. But you know, we sit here and try to anticipate what it's going to be like. Project Blue Beam, Aliens, Ascended Masters, all that sort of thing going on. You know what it really boils down to? When you're in the tribulations, you're going to know it. And when you do, when it starts, and the massive loss of life in a world war happens, you know you're in the second seal. It's real simple. You're going to know when you're in a worldwide famine and a worldwide diseases. You're going to know. When there's a great earthquake, and we're still here, a great earthquake that's a ground-hugging earthquake, you're going to know. When Christians are killed, souls on the altar, fifth seal, you're going to know. If you're one of them that's killed as a martyr, you're going to heaven, don't matter after that. Really, when you think about it. Death is but a gateway. Everybody's afraid of death. Why? In reality, there is no gift, death. I'm going to have to... It's amazing. There is no gift, a death. Family, none whatsoever. You end up going either... everybody hold on a second. I'll be right back at you. I hadn't got started yet, but I'll be right back at you in a minute. Stand by.
That the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt. Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling.
You know, sometimes we ask ourselves, who are we, that the creator of the universe would pick us as humans to die on a cross for our sins? He would take that punishment. I mean, this is what happened. This is real. It's not just a Bible study lesson or whatever. This is a real thing going on. Everything else going on is distraction. I mean everything. Literally. And you know, family members sometimes get involved in interruptions, distractions, and they don't even know it. They don't know it. They're led. Sometimes we distract ourselves. We get, make up excuses. I need to read my Bible tonight. Get around to it. I know I need to read. You see what we do? I'm as guilty as anybody. It's those interruptions. There's a whole 2-hour study lesson that I do on interruptions that I've acquired and on just interruptions. Things are supernatural. Now, next week, I want to talk about rock and roll. I may do the whole 2 hours. And when I was looking at this video, which is 50 minutes long, very telling, it dawned on me while I was listening to it, we've covered this already. And here I've got actual testimony on this video that confirms what we've been talking about. About how the songwriters, going all the way back, just pick a decade, where they get the music from. You think it's from their own talent of being able to write poems, or their own talent of being able to write a song in the age of Aquarius, you know, or it's been a hard day's night. I've been working like a hog. Oh no, it's a dog, isn't it? Yeah. Oh well. Blue suede shoes. Thank you very much. So that's my impressions for tonight. We think it comes from them. No, it really doesn't. And you're going to get, when I talk about the rock and roll, I'll make a program out of it about what musical instruments are good and which ones are bad. What? That sounds weird. But actually, the Bible tells you. Now, as usual, I like to take things a step further. I don't like to stay in one. I like to go 2 or 3-dimensional, at least 3-dimensional. Yeah, what I mean is, what is music? B-flat or other, I don't know music. Except when I sing in the shower or put a bucket over my head. But what is music? It's vibration. It's frequency. And what are we? We're frequencies, energy, frequency. Oh, it works. It works really well. You know that the YouTube, some of the YouTube presentations that are talking against the occult, or actually it contains music to lull you into possession. They're tricky. The constant beat, 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 or the countdown, 10, 9, 8. Certain ways, certain music opens up your, what do they call them, chakras? I call them chocolates. Your chakras, or whatever, power points on the body, just like the earth has a power point. All the physical parts of the earth, the body has power points. It's kind of an illusion in a way. That God called together with his voice, his words to bring things together. But this frequency breaks through that. It's quantum physics, in other words. Well, they use music like alchemy. Harmony, beauty, and the arts is one of the seven ashrams rays. One of the 7 ashram rays of control. Called harmony, beauty, and the arts. The others, politics, science, religion, philosophy, economics, and finance, and a bunch of others they control. But harmony, beauty, and the arts is frequency of wave vibrations. Affects you. You've heard me talk about Schumann resonance before. How they can cause you to feel depressed or cause you to feel angry. Lull you into sleep by frequency vibrations of ELF transmission. ELF, lower magnetic frequencies. From HARP, magnetic signals. And when you start harnessing commercially, if you will, electromagnetic signals, you actually are presenting a synthetic demon. Because that's what demons do. They have a frequency for each specialty there are. When they come inside, they have a frequency for lust that matches that frequency in your body. It's like synthesizing demonic activity. It goes back to Nikola Tesla, whom they killed, murdered because he wouldn't cooperate. They stole his equipment, his ideas, but he was channeled. So I guess the point is that all these ideas from Leonardo da Vinci, Nikola Tesla, to Albert Pike, all these so-called geniuses, nope. One of three methods of actual channeling from supernatural beings has given us our technology, our music, our ideas of economics, finance, and all that has come from fallen angels in three different methods. And I can confirm that now with you by actual testimony based on the music presentations and writing of songs. But I'm going to add to it to show you exactly how it's done. And all they do is describe in general terms how they get their ideas of music, writing songs. I'm going to tell you exactly how they do it. We'll do that next week. Tonight I'm going to talk about giants of the Bible. As I started off with, I'm going to dedicate the broadcast. Yes. But if you're stuck here, if we're still here, depends when that rapture happens. First, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth seal, seventh, it's seventh seal, whatever. It's up to God. It's His business. Those giants are going to come out. Just as in the days of Noah. That's why they're changing the atmosphere to barium, nitrogen, fracking, bringing what's in the ground up to take the atmosphere back to what it used to be before the flood, where the fallen angels could manifest with the atmosphere heavy in nitrogen and barium oxide, the minerals on top to be able to facilitate their manifestation. What's below to make it above? God put the argon, all these gas modules in the ground to stay there, gold and silver and diamonds and all these crystals and jewels, supposed to stay in the ground, not come up, is in the ground for a reason. Same thing with oil, natural gas, coal, all that's supposed to stay down there. Never was supposed to be brought up. But the most clever thing ever done, one of the most clever things that Satan did, was establish the basis of the mark of the beast called money, and then along the way to make it, at first the money was gold and silver and coins and diamonds and rubies and all this stuff. And then when he came up with the paper money, to have it backed by what's in the ground. Isn't that amazing? So for you to be able to eat, work, make a living, you got to count your money in what's based on the ground. Of course, for our money, it's not worth anything because they took the gold. But it's based on gold, based on oil, whatever the country's got, on what's in the ground. So you got to dig it up. Isn't that clever? Say he's a clever boy, isn't he? Not real smart because he knows he's going to hell. Wasn't real smart when he rebelled against God. Pride got to him. Got to let go of the pride. You're going to fall. That's what happened. But to get us to dig it up for him, because they can't dig it up, what do we got to have? Got to eat. Do this. Need money. What's money based on? Gold. Dig it all up. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Well, the cloning, the DNA, has already happened. They're just waiting to come out of the caverns and caves and deep underground military bases. The day of havoc, the day of the Lord. When he lifts his protective hedge, the church is gone. Those giants are coming out at some point in time. And this isn't some kind of Harry Potter science fiction or fiction novel. This is real. As in the days of Noah. Lord, tonight we come before you in prayer. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to have a Bible study here. We thank you, Father, for this network that you gave us that we're able to worship. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings you've given us. And we ask you, Father, forgive us of our sins. We lay them before you. Father, we see the Holy Spirit moving some in our lives and around us. But, Lord, we also see the demonic realm also moving. And, Father, we call upon you to give us a spread the protection of the blood of Jesus around us. Father, to bring us to discernment and wisdom, that, Father, we can see the truth. The courage and the opportunities to be able to speak it and bring others to Jesus Christ. We pray for our family to cover them in the blood of Jesus, Lord, and bring healing to those that's in need. Father, to give us the words to speak, the knowledge of the Bible to lead others in that path, Lord. Father, these things we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, let you know, for those who may be new or those who may hear this later, that we're being played on a random basis, kind of like my show is being played on my own website, up in Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, at highpointradio.net. That's highpointradio.net. Name's John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, at highpointradio@yahoo.com. highpointradio@yahoo.com is his website, and he's starting to build up his site. Add more antennas. He's going to focus on broadcasting. He plays our Bible studies and our broadcast on a random basis there. And KBLU Radio, also at Blue Raven Network, is played out in Colorado area. And for that, we appreciate it as well. My website is watchmanforjesus.com. And I have a couple studies there. They'll keep you busy. And the archives is there as well. You can download them and send them out, do whatever you want to with them, listen to them later. So, Giants of the Bible, what we're talking about tonight. You know, the minds of a lot of people, occupied thoughts, who are the giants. Have you not seen movies lately? They always tell you what they're going to do before they do it. They have to. But they do it in sneaky ways. When I was a youngster, they had a Yul Brynner movie when he was a young guy. 1960s time frame. I think it was called The 50-Foot Giant, 50-Foot Man, something like that. A nuclear blast caught him, and from a nuclear energy, messed around with his DNA and grew real big. Real, real big. Then later on, they had the attack of the giant woman or something another, whatever. And you see these Egyptian statues. Well, I got news for you. You see the statues are giant, right? Well, they're probably life-size. And we're not talking giantism. That's what they're trying to pair it off with. You got a special gene called giantism or whatever. And they're all the ones that do have that. They're lanky and slow and they don't live long, whatever. That's not it at all. These giants have copper-based DNA with human-based DNA. And they're like full-bodied giants. Super strong, athletic. They're called skinwalkers in one name in the American West before the, somewhere around the 10th century, 12th century, and before. The Indians had to contend with them in the United States, all over the place. These are, because once God raised the water table and divided the land, about the 10th generation after Nimrod, everywhere was the giants in the DNA, which was based on human and daughters of man and fallen angels. Not just big basketball players at all. Family up to 30 foot tall. It's manipulating of DNA. Nitrogen atmosphere, barium atmosphere, completely different. And even the plants were giant. Talks about grapes that took two men to carry. If you read the Bible and or Old Testament. The atmosphere was different then. The chemtrails today are trying to make it like it was. It facilitates possession and growth, accelerated growth. You would be shocked and amazed to find out how many demonic entities walking around in physical bodies there are in the United States. They're not allowed to come out yet. Talking about homosexuals coming out? Yeah, you ain't seen nothing yet. Through the blood of Jesus is the only way you're going to defeat them. The militaries are being prepared for it, just like the Indians were with bows and arrows. That's why they got these 25 millimeter shells. Yeah, they know they're coming. They know the possession, the day of evil is coming. They don't want to panic the population. As in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the end times. But if you got the love of Jesus, you got Jesus Christ in your life, you literally may become a David. You may literally may walk up to one of them and look straight up and your neck's going to be hurting looking up and yell in the loudest voice you got to depart from you in the name of Jesus Christ. How many people that don't know Jesus are going to be scared out of their wits? Men's hearts will fail them for fear. It's coming. Where did it come from? You got these preachers out here. Sorry, sometimes I sound a little sarcastic, but I don't know. I'm working on that. But you got these preachers out here. There, I did it again, didn't I? I did it again. I just can't help myself. These preachers out here, some of them, a lot of them actually, are saying that the sons of God were the sons of Seth. That's impossible. Sons of God of the Old Testament were fallen angels. Jesus was a son of God. Adam was a son of God, but Jesus was different. Jesus was the only begotten son of God. That's very important. That's why they removed that word begotten in a lot of the Bibles. Not the King James, though. They took the word begotten out. Uh-huh, that's what they did. They are sneaky. Ooh, let me tell you what. Sneaky ain't the word, capital S. Giants in the Bible, sons of God, saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Now, I've had people go so far as to say they took them wives. I thought they were evil. They were. Then how did they take a wife? I'm like, ask one person, is this a trick question? You ever heard of kidnapping before? No, if it took wives, I mean, it went through some kind of service. I said, what? Man, what caves you come out of? I said, no, they didn't. They stole them. They kidnapped. They took them. Took is the key word. The sons of God are fallen angels. Not in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament, Old Testament alone. They rebelled and sinned against God. And these fallen angels are the spirits of darkness and Satan as their leader. Fallen angels saw the daughters of men. They were fair and took them as wives. Now you're talking about giants. That's one DNA structure that was manipulated. Family, the monarchy of England, the blue bloodline is copper. Blue. Copper-based DNA. They quantified a DNA strand, came up with a human hybrid that's linked to the tribe of Dan. Hmm. 13th tribe. Tribe of Dan, look it up. You'll find them linked to the Merovingian bloodline, the Queen Elizabeth types, and all over. That's why they keep marrying within the family. They got to keep track of that special DNA. Because it is special. Special powers, special ability, knowledge, and can be possessed by demons that a lower level can't. Because that copper-based DNA versus iron oxide, iron and carbon makes up the human being. Copper and silica make up the fallen angels. Job 2:1. Old Testament. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. See, they're still subservient to God. Hope next week I'm going to talk about... I'm going to write it down. About how Satan is still subservient to God. How God still controls the world. And Satan must still present himself before God. And there's coming a time, specifically, the fifth or sixth seal, when the stars of heaven will fall. And they don't mean meteorites either, a meteorite shower. It's the sixth seal. Stars fall from heaven. That means they'll be cast out of the second heaven, which is right before the third, which is where God resides. And the host of heaven is there. But second heaven is where the Satan and the fallen angels reside. And in the earth is where the lower level demons reside. And on the earth is where the demons that he has assigned to each human being, little specks of light. 1,000 points of light. Mm-hmm. Anyway. And they're looking for bodies to inhabit because they're supernatural. Their alternative location is the abyss. They don't like that. They like to be on earth and mess with you. Right now they have audience with God, the fallen angels do, before they can do anything. Job 2 is clearly stating that the sons of God are angels, in which part fail into sin by rebelling against God, and Satan is the leader of these fallen angels. Now the giants, Genesis 6:4, in the King James Bible says there were giants, in the NIV it says Nephilim. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, and bare children to them, they came the same became mighty men, men of old and men of renown. Men of the old age and men of renown, special men with special powers, size, abilities, because of that DNA strain. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. Well, there you go. In the original text, the word Nephilim comes from the word Naphtal, and it means to fall. So the giants were descendants of fallen angels and the daughters of men. And it wasn't yet quantified DNA. Certainly the giants intermingled with the daughters and men of daughters and sons of Cain, and also of Seth. After all, DNA was corrupted except for Noah, three sons, three wives. And you know how the Jews are. Well, heck, you know how much families are. They stay within their own in the royal blood when they want to keep the bloodline clean. They stay within their own family. They don't go outside the family. Man, they memorize names going back 10 or 15, 20 generations. So this thing about marrying outside their race, no. When they know they have that original Hebrew Israelite, they're not going to be scattered and marry Gentiles. That ain't going to happen. Because they keep track of that DNA. They keep track by name. They memorize it. So that DNA is very important to them. So those that say that America and white folk are the lost tribes, you got to be kidding me. And then the black folks say they are. And has anybody ever thought that they come from the Middle East? Has that ever entered anybody's mind at all? That Jesus Christ was born in the Middle East? Whoa, what a concept that is. And the people born in the Middle East are going to look like Middle Easterners? Wow, I never thought of that before. What a thought that is too. Yeah. These giants, before the DNA was manipulated further, by trial and error, by the way, the giants were descendants of the fallen angels, daughters of men. So before the flood, the sons of God had sexual relationship with the daughters of men. The Bible says that also after they were giants in the earth, it means that fallen angels had sexual relationship with the daughters of men. Also, after the flood. After the flood, the sons of God had sexual intercourse with daughters of men who bore children to them. And like this, there were giants in the earth after the flood even. People try to say that, and the point I was making a little while ago, was they're trying to say that, well, they didn't. That the daughters of Noah, the daughter-in-law of Noah, had the giant gene in them. So I'm reading a couple of research. I do a lot of research. And I was reading a whole bunch. I said, oh, this is good. Oh, yeah, okay, giants. Good, yeah, Nephilim, yeah, you know, before the flood, sons of God, all that stuff going on. And then I read, well, probably one of the three or all the three daughters of daughters-in-law of Noah had the giant gene. I said, oh, man, why'd you have to go and say that? Oh, it always got a twist to it. You got good information, all of a sudden it goes, pshaw, to another direction. Do you like that? Pshaw. That was me. It wasn't a made up. So, if you go to Numbers 13, verse 33. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, who come of the giants, and we were in our sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Now that's pretty small. That's scary. Men's hearts will fail them for fear. Yep, it would be. Grasshopper's not too big. Lava gets stepped on. King James Bible. We saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. You remember the movies you saw with Jack and the Beanstalk? in other movies where you show giant trees walking around or whatever. And then giants in these adventure movies. There you go. The beast out of the ocean. A little hyperbole going with Godzilla. It's all predictive programming. I said, Tom, that's being ridiculous. You're just going over edge. Nope. It's called predictive programming. Leviathan. The fallen angels impregnated the satanic seed, the daughters of men. And as a consequence of this, their descendants were filthy and satanic sins, worse than ever. And this reason, God decided to destroy the satanic seed from the face of the earth. And the flood drowned everyone except Noah's family. Nobody was hanging in caves. Nobody was hanging on the ark. Nobody had a hook and threw it up and shimmied up there and said, I'm just going to wait it out here. It didn't work that way. Well, how's it possible? After the flood can be giants, and the ark were only Noah and his family, no other people. Well, fallen angels are evil spirits. And they came down either after the Tower of Babel, which would be the third generation, because there they could have very well, not to say could have here at this point, come through the portal through the Tower of Babel, because that was what it was built for, by the way. Well, it could have worked several times and allowed some of the fallen angels to come in, and God put a stop to it. That's speculation. But the fallen angels are not limited and bound by borders of the human body because they're evil spirits. And fallen angels didn't die in the flood. They continued to deceive mankind after the flood. Because when you read the Bible, it says after the flood there were giants and descendants of the earth. So again, they impregnated the daughters of men. And the descendants became giant nations. The Hittites, this tites, that tites, whatever tites it is, were giants. Can you imagine? The Israelites were fighting against giants, and that's why God said to kill every man, woman, child, and animal. Because of the corrupted DNA. Before the flood, fallen angels and daughters of men had been in sexual relationship with each other. And so sin got to have terrible proportions in the earth. So God commanded to destroy the nations. And after the flood descended, fallen angels and the nations, princes of Greece and all this, they were made princes. Evil spirits or fallen angels had the sexual relationship with the daughters of men. Their descendants were under evil sins, like burning their children in the fire of offerings to the idols. They lived violently, contacted with evil spirits, practiced unnatural sexual activities, bestiality, homosexuality. Does that sound a little familiar today? Because it's happening. It ought to. The nations were not willing to repent of these sins. Does that sound familiar? Wanted to spread evil sins throughout the world. But they were completely controlled by satanic powers. That's why I'm doing all these deeds. And so if God would not have allowed to destroy the satanic nations, so it could be that today the world, someone would burn little children as offering to idols, not knowing that abortion is going to come along. Back then it was burning with fire, but now it's called abortion. That's what it's used for. God commanded then to destroy the descendants of the fallen angels and daughters of men. So the nations adopted the satanic sins. The command was given at a certain time and concerned certain nations, not all nations, but the new covenant is not this kind of command. So, you'll hear commonly that many people are just, they don't understand this command from God to destroy these nations. The nations that descended from fallen angels. And even to accuse God for this. But if God had not destroyed these nations, now the world would be nations. And would do a lot of evil things, unlike even today. Even more so. Burning their children to idols. Cannibalism, death, destruction. If God not destroyed these nations, so the same people who accuse God for destruction of these nations, and those would accuse him today, then why he didn't destroy these awful nations would burn their children in the fire. Then they're going to say, how does God allow such evil activity and doesn't do anything about it? So he's trying to get God either way. But he did properly when he destroyed those nations, regardless of whether even some people accuse him of it or not for that. In Deuteronomy 9, hear, O Israel. Deuteronomy 9. Hear, O Israel. Thou art to pass over Jordan this day to go and to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself. Cities great and fenced up to heaven. A people great and tall. The children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest, and of whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak? A-N-A-K, Anak. Understand, therefore, this day that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee as a consuming fire, he shall destroy them, he shall bring them down before thy face. So shall thou drive them out, but destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said unto thee. Speak not thou in thine heart after that the Lord thy God has cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord has brought me in to possess the land, but for the wickedness of these nations the Lord doth drive them out from before thee. And finally, not for thy righteousness or for the uprightness of thine heart dost thou go to possess their land, but for the wickedness of these nations the Lord thy God does drive them out, and before thee, and they may perform the word which the Lord swear unto the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham was the first Jew. That was the Abrahamic covenant. So God said in his word that Israelites would pass over Jordan in the land of Canaan. And there lived great nations. And when he says great nations, he's talking about these darn giants. And for the wickedness of the giants, God shall destroy them. In the land of Canaan lived also Anakims, a giant nation. So when you read those scriptures, you find out this is Harry Potter on steroids. This isn't fictional. This is real. It's not some video game. Movie theater. And they're coming back. They're already being cloned. God said the Israelites don't possess the land for their righteousness, but for the reason of wickedness in the giant nations. Like this way also fulfilled promise of God to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So the origin of this giant nation was a satanic union between fallen angels and daughters of men. But the giants had satanic evil because the seed, the giant gene of the Nephilim, the evil spirit, was their origin. And for this reason and this reason alone, God destroyed them. So the giant nations, which were the majority, settled to live in the region. And God had promised the Israelites. But the giant nations, they settled in the land. Well, evil spirits, fallen angels, guided the giants to the land, actually. They tried to prevent fulfilling of God's promise, like they try and do today. And this may sound similar, but they actually also tried to destroy Israelites and enslave them by satanic sins. Does that sound familiar? So the intention of the giant nations was spread out to deprave all nations of the world. And then you wonder why some people do, why Satan is chained for 1,000 years after the millennium at the Battle of Gog and Magog, to let him come out again to tempt the nations once more. Because at 1,000 years of millennium, the nations will not have been tempted by Satan. He'll be chained, right? So to allow them to make their choice, clean out the riffraff, you want to call it that, he lifts Satan out of his abyss and chains for once more to tempt the nations in the seventh trumpet. And then comes the Battle of Gog and Magog, which is not World War III. So, the consequence of sexual intercourse between evil spirits and daughters of men on the demonic, earthbound, earthborn, demonic human race. The goal of demonic human race was to deprave the world by satanic sins. Just what they're trying to do today. But God didn't allow it then. He destroyed satanic seed wiping. He took them away from the earth. Sexual intercourse between evil spirits and daughters of men was sin and abomination and against the will of God. There's also a reason why God destroyed these giants, because they were descendants of the satanic seed. Now if you go to 1 Samuel, excuse me, go to 1 Samuel 21, Well, I'm sorry, 2 Samuel. Oops. 2 Samuel 21. I thought something was funny there. In 15 to 17, you'll find Second Samuel. I have a little trouble here. 2 Samuel 21. Okay. 15. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. And David went down and servants with him and fought against the Philistines. David waxed faint. And Ishbosheth, which was one of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. Now, 300 shekels That's pretty darn heavy. Man, that's not shucking around at all. 300 shekels is about 300 pounds. Well, 300 shekels, let's see, that would be what? 300 shekels would be something like, what would that be about? About 100 pounds or so? Let me see. What would 300 shekels be? I'm not sure. That's a tricky question. That's a tricky question. I have to look that up. $300 shekels, I'll tell you in a minute. Half ounce, so that means about 300 shekels, about 150 ounces, or about 9.5 pounds. So 300 shekels, about 150 ounces, and about 9.5 pounds. Sword. It's pretty heavy. That's a real heavy sword to be slinging around. So, he is girded with new armor and thought to have slain David. But Ashbishai, the son of Zeruiah, scourged him and smote the Philistines and killed him. Then the men of David sworn to him, saying, Thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the lamp of Israel. So the word Rapha means a giant, such as Jewish rabbis have translated it. Philistine Ishkabob was the descendant of the giant. 2 Samuel 21:18. And it came to pass after this, that there again was a war of the Philistines of Gob. Then Sibbecai, Hushatite, slew Saph, who was one of the sons of the giant. So the Philistines, Saph, the Philistines were descendants of the giants. 2 Samuel 21:20. And there was again war at Gath. There was a champion that had on in every hand 6 fingers, every foot 6 toes, 24 in number, and also was born the giant Rapha. You'll find this common for the Nephilim to have like 6 fingers and 6 toes. Now, here's a catcher. We've talked about a lot of the dancers, singers, movie stars, sports stars, others in high-level human endeavor, professional players and so forth, or actors or actresses. There's a number of them have 6 fingers and 6 toes on each hand and foot. That being said, this links up to my presentation that's going to be next week on rock and roll music, and I'll tell you why. I'd mentioned this past week about when one of the Nephilim, or one of the fallen angels, the Illuminati children, get to be 12 to 15 or so, they remove sperm from the male, and they maintain it, they keep it. And then they seed, cloning, in vitro. That kid could have 12, 15, 20, 30 children and not even know it. Because they take them, and they manipulate the DNA to make musicians, sports, you got the point, actors, actresses. So you could have Kevin Costner, that's a cousin or so of Michael Jordan. That's possible because the gene. Matter of fact, that's what I understand. It's also a fact that Madonna is in the same bloodline as Brad Pitt, who's in the same bloodline as Bush, Cheney, Curry, Bob Dole. They're in the same bloodline. Oh, yeah, Romney. They're cousins. With Madonna, Brad Pitt. Even far back as Pocahontas. Now you understand. So the singers, dancers, movie stars. Here's why. Because when they do their acting, do their singing, do whatever they do, they become possessed. They're able to be possessed because of that gene. Or if another human being would become possessed, they would spontaneously combust, burn up, because your iron oxide without that gene would not be able to handle the increase of energy maintained by being possessed by these beings at the highest level. Whew, that's difficult to explain. Hope I didn't confuse anybody. But that's what's going on. Now, when you hear this presentation next week about rock and roll and how the singers themselves are admitting this, but another way. See, I'm taking y'all a step further. Where they're getting their inspiration from. But when they get possessed, they got to have that gene, or they can't, because by themselves, they're not good like Beyonce. She admits it. Another one does. She gives a name to the entity that comes inside her. And the entity comes inside, it's like, woof. You know how you, for example, y'all ever, let's use philosophy. A boring course. Dumbest course ever was. So you sat in this philosophy class as a freshman. And all you can think of is just getting the heck out of there. But you're in a freshman philosophy class. Philosophy is chewing gum for the mind. And you just can't keep your eyes open. You're like nodding. Like a dipping duck. And then you have that little spurt of jump. You know, whoa. And you jump like somebody slaps you. But and people look at you. What'd you jump for? It's kind of that in-between awake and sleep mode. You know what I mean? I did it one time in class. The pen went flying across the room. I'm glad they didn't put nobody's eyeball out. Oh, yeah, it happened, too. I jumped. I fell asleep, and I jumped, and the pen went flying out of my hand. Went halfway across the room. That's a little embarrassing. But anyway, it's boring class, too. It's that jump when a person becomes possessed. Truly possessed. Not demonized. Possessed. And when they, Beyonce and another one, said that, I forgot what they call the demon. It comes. Hey, I'm just telling you what they're saying. Is that they gave a name to it. Just like the kids that deal with the Ouija board. Kids in the Ouija board, they have little children that are demons. But they don't know it. The kids on the Ouija board, the entity will pretend like it's a child with a child's name and everything until it becomes ugly. That's where suicide comes in and drugs and all that sort of thing is a result of it. They pull you in first, then they change on you. Same thing. So, possession, and I ain't talking about marijuana neither. Possession of the body by a demon takes over at the time that the human member begins to act, to work, to do whatever. Write songs, throw a baseball. Professional football. Act. Sing. Tap dance. You got the point. Or write. Look it up. Six fingers, six toes on each foot. Well, I guess that means that I could count to 24 instead of 20. Anyway, Gath was one of the five important cities of the Philistines, is also the native city of Goliath. Ah. So the champion of Gath, the Philistine, was the descendants of the giants. They had a war against the Philistines. There was a, so that would make sense about why God had that one angel fight 175,000 Assyrians. They were giants. So he had to have an angel to fight them. That's why it took an angel to fight them all. I see. Second Samuel 21:19. And there was again war over the Philistines at Gob, and Elantha, Elhanan, E-L-H-A-N-A-N, the son of Jeri Origim, and Bethlehemite, slew Goliath the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. Now that's big. Now in that passage, David killed Goliath. But there's more than one Goliath. He had brothers. There's one more than one Goliath. Second Samuel 21:19. It says, the King James Bible, and there was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines, where Elhanan, the son of Jeri Origim, a Bethlehemite, and what names, slew the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like the weaver's beam. There was a brother of Goliath. Then you had the giants of Gath, 2 Samuel 21:22. These four were born to the giant Raphat in Gath, and they fell by the hand of David and by the hand of the servants. So, in Gath of Philistia lived the descendants of the giants. And so the Israelites, with the help of God, they were fearless because they had God behind them. And they could win the giants in the battle. That's what they needed. It's also the exemplary sin is like a giant that a man can't win without the help of God. Same thing. The voice of truth. When the help of God, the giants will fall and the nation of God will receive kingdom and freedom from promises of God. So it may not be the Russians we're worried about or the Chinese. It's going to be maybe, I use maybe here, either before or after, the Nephilim. They ain't telling us about. See, Goliath was a giant, 1 Samuel 17. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span. When you talk about that, how tall would that be? 6 cubits in a span? Sometimes I feel if I have too much chocolate, I'm too spanned here. You know, some of these, how tall is that? 1 cubic is 17 to 22 inches, the length of a human forearm measured from the tip of the finger to the elbow and span about 9 inches. So 6 cubits plus 1 span is 111 inches to 141, about 9 feet 3 inches to 11 feet 9 inches. About 10 to 12 foot tall. It's pretty big. He had a helmet of brass upon his head. armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. Whoa, that's heavy. That's really heavy. 5,000 shekels, how much is that? 300 was 10 pounds. Well, that boy's got something going on, don't he? These are not normal people. So, so that's about 125 to 194 pounds. The weight of the coat was about that much. He had greaves of brass upon his leg, a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of the spear was like a weaver's beam. His spear head weighed about 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. Goliath's height was about 11 feet. Coat of mail weighed about 156 pounds. The spearhead weighed about 18 pounds. Measurements reveal for us now that how size the giants were in the days of King David. Goliath said to the Israelites, "Am I not a Philistine, and you servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If you be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we'll be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall you be our servants and service." The giant of sin, this guy Goliath, he wanted to make a man for a slave of sin who served the filth of sin. He did. This was Goliath's challenge. If you win me, you're free. If I win you, you must serve me. So also the giant sin of desire defeats you. It'd be your idol. If you trust your own power, but you can't trust your own power. David didn't trust himself, but he trusted on God, and that with the help of his power. The consequence was that the giant of sin fell down and died because David at that point trusted God. And tells us a lesson today. That with the help of God, you can defeat the giants of sin. Facing your giant. And you're free to serve God and receive his promise. All of them. The grace and power of God is miraculous, and from it is evidence that Israelites have courage to fight against giants. That's where they got their courage from. And they won with the help of God, but they couldn't do it themselves. Then you had the giant nations. Deuteronomy 2, verse 10. The Emim dwelt, E-M-I-M, dwelt therein aforetime, a people great and many and tall as the Anakim. These also are counted Raphaim as the Anakim, but the Moabites call them Emim. Eminem. So there you go. So, and when there cometh nigh over against the children of Ammon, harass them not, nor contend with them, for I will not give thee the land of the children of Ammon for a possession, because I've given it to the children of Lot for a possession. It also is accounted a land of Raphaim. Raphaim dwelt therein aforetime, but the Ammonites call them Zemzumim. What a bunch of names they got, making it difficult for me. Zemzumim, interesting. A people great and many and tall as the Anakim, but the Lord destroyed them before them, and they succeeded them and dwelt in their stead. God kicked their butt. Any questions? But only through God. Raphaim is plural of Rapha. And there were many great giant nations, Emim, Anakim, and Raphaim. And you know, the Indians and our American plain had to deal with the same type of giants called skinwalkers. When God raised the water table to divide land, those in the North American continent remained there, of course. And the Indians had to contend with them. Now, all through the Bible, people like to think it's fairy tales, but actually tells you, and they have allegedly some reports, we see the pictures of them on occasion, of giant skeletons that shows up in pyramids in various places in the North American continent. But they're going to have to reveal that eventually. But 2 Peter 2, verse 4, very key. That's a key verse. Because 2 Peter 2, 4, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment. So down to hell in Greek. This is a place where the wicked dead ones were residing in imprisonment. Before the flood, it was right across from paradise that existed then. But when Jesus Christ died, he went down there, proclaimed he had risen from the grave. He didn't get tortured down there in hell, like Copeland and Joyce Meyer say. They're wrong. But he preached to the Old Testament saints and took them out of paradise and got rid of the land of paradise and took them to heaven. He remained on earth, as you know, a 40-day ministry. But his goal, his job after being resurrected, was then to descend into paradise and preach them the gospel. Because remember, before the Old Testament, before Jesus Christ died and rose again, killing an animal did not save them. It was obedience, but it was anticipation of the coming Messiah. Well, Messiah came, and he went down there, preached to them, there he went. So down to hell in Greek, the place where the wicked dead ones reside in imprisonment. The Bible says clearly that God threw down to hell angels who sinned. They're angels in chains waiting the judgment day. So when you research that in the light of the Bible teaching, and it means that part of fallen angels are still free, deceiving people on the earth, and part of them in imprisonment and chains. They're both. You know them as ascended masters or aliens. 66 of them, to be exact. But they're neither. They're fallen angels. And they're controlling the governments, the militaries. In those seven areas I've been talking about. There you go. They attend the Bilderberg Group. You understand what I'm saying? How deep this goes. They're invoked or channeled in the Bilderberg meetings, UN meetings. Let's bring it home. CFR, they advise our military leaders, our political leaders, scientists. They're the ones. That's how deep it goes. So angels that are imprisoned left their own habitation. The spirit body, who had practiced sexual intercourse with the daughters of men, evil sexual intercourse between the fallen angels and the daughters of men, occurred before and after the flood. And Genesis 6:4 tells you that, but some people misinterpret it. They say it proves it by saying that there were giants in the earth in those days, and after, and also after that. So a context is in the days of Noah before the flood. And text says that after that, there was giants in the earth after the flood. So the Bible pretty much proves elsewhere that there were giants in the earth after the flood. And took the daughters of men with them too again. Start all over again. as in the days of Noah. Leads us up to today. So the imprisoned angels are talked about in Jude 1 verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, first time, but left their own habitation, he reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. That's the day of the Lord. Usually talks about the great day. So this verse proves that the fallen angels left their celestial bodies, took the shape of the human body, that they had, those of the fallen sons of God. It also explains that how the fallen angels took the daughters of men to be their wives. Again, they took the celestial body and took the shape of the human body as a result of this. They had sexual relationship with the daughters of men because they had a physical form. So, the letter of Jude says the angels who left their own habitation is imprisoned in everlasting chains to wait for the judgment day. So the reason for imprisonment was that these angels left their own habitation, sexual intercourse with the daughters of men, and they are evil. But God's going to release them in due time. And those who didn't leave their own habitation, didn't practice sex with daughters of men, are still free and deceiving people on the earth today. And actually, it names them. The names of the fallen angels are in this New Age name. Actually, Satan is named Sanat Kumara. S-A-N-A-T. K-U-M-A-R-A. Is Satan's New Age name, alias. And they are invoked either by channeling or by actual physical appearance at the Wesak Festival in Mount Shasta, California, which is a major interlocking of ley lines. And there they're invoked by sacrifice, invocation, chanting, whatever else they want to get into, to bring them into this world. That's where your disasters come from. That's where your wars come from. And other means, movie stars dying, all this, is energy generation, exchange for body, so they can manifest by a collection of energy, alchemy, they can manifest into this realm. Now that's criminally oversimplified. Major alchemy going on here. So they attend. So when I say, oh, they're going to the Wesak Festival. Oh, goody, can we go too? They have a roller coaster there? And maybe funnel cakes. And, oh, I really like that big old turkey leg they have. And, well, they have crafts there? That's what comes to mind, doesn't it? Now you know the reason for holidays, to hide the occult. Now you know the reason for festivals. I can say Wesak Festival. We think, oh, okay. What does it cost? Well, actually, about $300, actually. They'll vet you out, too. Any old Joe Blow can't go there. This is where the fallen angels, the sons of God of the Old Testament, are coming to. They're there. Who is it? Saint Germain. El Moria. Dajuaku, they call them. Hilarion. El Moria, Saint Germain, talked to, channeled Helena Blavatsky and Alice Bailey. Bring it home, Tom. Bring it home. And that's what I'm talking about. That's up close and personal. That's the names. Sanat Emanuel is a fallen angel. Just part of the 66 group. And guess what? Sanat Emanuel, that fallen angel, is in, we see him every day. On TV, when there's a movie about Jesus Christ. On portraits, black velvet, wherever. That's not Jesus Christ, family. That's Sanat Emanuel. Nobody knows what Jesus Christ looks like. You ever thought about that? We've assumed all our lives. Is it blonde-haired, blue-eyed? You know, there's one old movie, 1980s. It shows a child Jesus. And they, these people, they make sure there's an up close and personal photo, picture, camera shot of this 10-year-old Jesus. I forget the movie. I don't know the name of the movie. They make sure you see it. And guess what? Just sure as I'm sitting here, and I'm sitting down, by the way, this little Jesus on this movie, the actor they got, this blonde-haired, blue-eyed kid. Just as blue-eyed. They make sure you get a look at his little blue eyes. They make sure of that. I can't imagine why. Because they believe that Jesus Christ is white. And the blacks believe that Jesus Christ was black. And is neither. Neither black nor white. But olive skin. Middle Easterner. Look more like Indian. Mm-hmm. And Mexican. And Middle Easterner. There's your Jesus. The real Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The real one that died on the cross for our sins. Had hair of wool and skin like bronze. Now, I don't have a problem with that, do you? If you do, you've got a real big problem, man. Let me tell you what. Who cares about the color of the skin? Who cares about where it came from? As long as he's there and you take him as your Savior, better straighten out. You see. That's what I'm talking about. Because he's coming back. He knows every thought that you got. They're actually starting to believe that, you know, the real Jews, Hebrew Israelites, they came from Middle East too. Mm. Yeah, they did. Jacob and Isaac and Abraham, Middle Easterner. Family, the Jews aren't scattered in America. I'm sorry. Get over it. And Europe neither. Mm-mm. And you know they had the same father? Yeah, he sure did. His name was Abraham. Uh-huh. Isaac, Jacob. And half-brother, guess who? Arabs out of Hagar. Yeah, deal with it. Because that's exactly what it is. First Peter 3:18, for Christ also once suffered for sins, and just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which he went and preached in the spirits in prison. Ah, there you go. Which sometimes were disobedient, and once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, when the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. You know he would have saved all the others if they were any. 8 souls out of, they estimate, 20 million. 8 souls out of the entire population of the earth, which is one piece of land, was only ones righteous. Now, let me throw something at you. All those naysayers, I just thought of something just now, this very second. Why did God kill all those folks before the flood? Why did God have them wipe out all the... Oh, this is major. This is major. Write this down. I just now thought of something. If God protected mankind from having corrupted DNA to the point he wiped out an entire earth of millions of Nephilim and offspring and hybrids and whatever else, why in the world, and even the wife of Lot turned around, Sodom and Gomorrah, he turned her a pillar of salt. You don't mess with God. Why would God, and I know some of you already figured this out, didn't you? You already figured it out, haven't you? You know what I'm going to say, don't you? Why would God allow the three wives had the Nephilim DNA in them to continue to populate the world with it? He wouldn't have. It's impossible. You think God made a mistake? If you want to think that, you're on your own, brother. Sister. God would have known that their DNA was corrupt. He would not have let those women, those wives, on that boat. And since Noah was perfect in his generation, DNA-wise, that's what that means, that means his sons were too. And if Noah's wife had any of it, she wouldn't have lived. God would not allow them to have kids. That's why the Jews, that's why the Jews keep their bloodline clean, and they didn't intermingle with Gentiles. That's a Christian identity. Nonsense. Herbert Armstrong and Arnold Murray. That white bread nonsense, that I call it. Family is not about bloodline. It's not about country. It's not about family. It's about Jesus. It's about the King James Bible, His true word of God. There's where your loyalty is. It's not the idol of patriotism and sovereignty and all that kind of thing. That's not of God. Where in the Bible does it say about sovereignty of a nation? Is the sovereignty of a nation only because God chose that nation, only one, to bring His word, and His bloodline was clean. That's why He chose Israel. The Hebrew Israelites, not the fake Jews they got there today. But the real Hebrew Israelites that are protected right now until the 144,000 allowed to come out. And boy, that tribe of Dan is trying to hunt them down all the way through Hitler to try to wipe them out. Yeah, buddy. Besides trying to find the renegade DNA of the fallen angels, they might be around. They're trying to gather the DNA worldwide to find that bloodline that might have escaped out. Man, people only knew all the stuff going on. Well, we're at the end of tonight. I'm not done yet. So I'll leave it there. We're going to talk more about this. Let me know if you have any questions or... Well, actually, almost at the end here, I am. That really worked out. Wow, how'd that happen? Anyway, some people teach that the angels don't marry, and therefore the fallen angels couldn't have a sexual relationship with the daughters of men, take them as wives. They base this on Matthew 22, verse 30. When you research that whole subject in the light of Bible teaching, you can clearly see, especially Job 38:7, that the fallen angels impregnated the daughters of men because they had bodies. Lot had two angels visit, sit down to eat. They got descendants, that's the giants. Matthew 22:30 says the angels in heaven don't get to marry. The angels in the heaven are obedient and loyal to God. Therefore, they don't marry. And the fallen angels had impregnated the daughters of men. They don't marry in heaven because they're supernatural bodies. But they sure did on earth. Well, interesting stuff. I mean, I find something new every time that... Hope you all got all that, because I couldn't remember if I had to right now. I hadn't thought about some of that stuff before. That's, and the reason I talk about it now, because they're coming back. You understand this? I'm not just talking about history. I'm talking about future. Ephesians 6:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Look at word up principalities in the Bible. I got a teaching on that. It's quite extensive. Against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And we ain't talking about kings and queens high places or Mount Rushmore. We ain't talking about high. We're talking about really high. So according to the teaching of the Bible, evil spirits in the darkness, fallen angels, dominate and rule people of this world by sins. And they in fact entice and enslave various sin, the people of this world. And what God does, He delivers man from the slavery of sin and Satan by faith of Jesus Christ. When you believe in Jesus, the Messiah, the real one, when man confesses his sin to God, repents, believes in the Lord Jesus, so God will forgive his sins, and then he receives eternal life from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Well, family, I appreciate y'all dropping by. But know your battle is just beginning. Family, practice, 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 because you're going to put it to use in some due time. You're going to have all kinds of naysayers on Facebook, Spacebook, my book, this book, on YouTube, my tube, whose tube, I don't know what. They're going to be all over the place, at home, away from home, in church, out of church, at work, away from work, whatever. They're going to come at you. Be ready to defend your faith. And then when you defended it, if that's what it comes to, then you witness to the one you defend against. Whether you're in the FEMA camp, or whether you're on your way in your cave when your bug out bag or whatever, and you got your cave and your whatever, I don't know, wherever you are, if you're heading to heaven, then there you go. You graduated. Family, they lose. Remember, Jesus Christ is coming back. Don't lose sight of that. They're going to start throwing all kinds of fear at you. That's because they're the ones afraid. That's the only reason they throw fear. If they were comfortable, calm, collect, in charge, they wouldn't have to worry about it. You ever thought about that? The more I react, the more I got to hide. Lord, we thank you tonight for Bible study. And Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings you give us. And Lord, we call upon you to guide us this weekend. Protect us. Protect our families. Give us the opportunities to witness the love of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for more Bible studies and to guide us more. Give us more wisdom, discernment, Lord, that we can fulfill thy will. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, family, I appreciate y'all coming by tonight. And we had the network is back up. It's working now, obviously. Let y'all know before I depart that we're played up at highportradio.net, www.highportradio.net. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. His email is highportradio@yahoo.com. Also, we're played at KBLU Radio, Blue Raven Network, with Simulcast. So I can never say that darn word. Simulcast, same time. My website is watchmanforjesus.com, watchmanforjesus.com. I'll have my archives up, and not to forget, Tuesday afternoon, Eastern Standard Time, 12 to 2, Central Time, 11 to 1. I'll be on Republic Broadcasting Network, kind of like when I was with RJ 2-3 years ago. But Deanna Spagnola speaks on her show for 2 hours talking about the attack on American soldiers. That's why I will get a little hot. We'll see what happens. Anyway, and so I'm going to talk about how that's been set up for the longest time, the attack on American soldiers, how they're doing it. So we'll see y'all next week, 4 o'clock on Monday. And Monday night, 8 o'clock to 10. Monday night, 8 o'clock to 10, RevelationRadioNetwork.org. RevelationRadioNetwork.org. It's from 8 to 10. It's every Friday, every Monday night. In addition to the Monday broadcast, 4 to 6. So y'all have a good night and a great weekend. Keep warm. Drive careful. And we'll see you next week. This is Watchman for Jesus, signing off.
The love was shining out from him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet relief. Every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
Good night. God bless. The Watchman signing off.